Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, the 24th of September. And my goodness, can you believe it? Almost October, and fall, by the way, just hit yesterday. And we're to the point now where we're closer to Christmas than what we are to the summer solstice. And I'm not going to talk about the after Christmas thing yet, about how it means that W-I, and I'm not going to say the rest of the word because, yeah, no, but that saying, fall's coming, although right now it only is starting to cool down a little bit. Around here anyways, places to the south, I'm even talking as close as like 4 hours. Some of them are starting to question, is fall coming? It'll be here. You'll get to see the leaves fall. Of course, my big thing about fall is all about the football. Remember, Brooke?
Yeah.
It's not as much about the foliage. It's more about the football. And the benefit of when the leaves fall is that it means you can hear the band better from wherever you are. Like if you're further away from the school, you can hear the band outside doing their work, getting ready for the home games. So that's always nice. And of course, Brooke, we can't forget about pumpkin everything. Pumpkin whoopies, pumpkin bread, pumpkin pie ice cream from DQ. And other great goodies like that. Anyhow, I want to welcome you to another episode of the show. And it is Testimony Tuesday, and usually what I do on Tuesday is I'll read a story about a miracle that Jesus did, or I'll talk about miracles of Jesus. And that's how part of how Tuesdays generally work. And then we'll talk a little bit of sports as far as the Tigers. What are they doing now? What I mean by that is, I mean, like, who are their next opponent? As they are getting ready to close out the season really soon. And I'll give you a few of my thoughts as to what I think has been going on. Also, we have Monday Night Football, as well as my thoughts on what happened to Michigan. On Saturday, and what does Michigan do now? And I feel like, since it's not Monday or Wednesday, on which I have more games to pick or talk about, or discuss what happened previous weekend, sometimes on Monday, on Tuesday, we can make it so that we can kind of just, like, if some wild like unexpected losses or something have happened, then we can, on Tuesday, we can kind of discuss that a little more in depth as to what I think went wrong, what do they do to fix it. Right now, I want to tell you guys something. Now, I do this every show. What it is this. We, I believe in God, to double the amount of listeners to the show compared to what we started this year. And the best way that you can help us to do that is by telling others how they can be a part of this great show. So in other words, reach out. Tell them. See somebody you know. Maybe someone cut you off at the drive-thru or something. Maybe instead of being mean to them, you can tell them a show they can listen to that maybe might help. I'm talking about this show right here. The Miracle Man Show. We talk about the Word of God here. Lift up the name of Jesus. And we worship here at times. We talk about sports and all that as well, though. But right now, just telling you guys how you can tell others. But we generally, we run the show from between 6:30 and about 8 o'clock. Normally, and sometimes we get done a little bit sooner. It all depends. And the way we do it is usually I'll start a bit by talking about like some current events, what am I up to, or might give a spiel for Coke or something else. Because we all believe in God for sponsors to the show also. And if you're a business owner and you would like to sponsor, feel free to contact me. And then we open up the Word of God. And we'll read some verses. And then I'll talk to you about what we read and teach and go from there based on what God's put in my heart. Sometimes we may sing before that. Other times, if I sing, we may sing after that. And then we talk about sports for a little bit. And then that's how it ends. Just to give you an idea of how the show goes on a typical night here at Miracle Man. Now, Monday and Wednesday, generally around 7:35, right now, because it's football season, we generally go into football after like 7:35 or so. And we just, for the rest of it, we talk about football. On Monday night, I talk about the games from the past weekend. In other words, football days, meaning Thursday to Monday. And then Wednesday, I predict what's coming next. So So tomorrow, for example, you'll get my prediction, you football fans. And I think we've been doing pretty good. Last year was kind of all over the place. Last year, more often than not, I was over 50%. There was once I was at 50%. One time, maybe twice, I was perfect. But then there was another time where I totally got crushed. None of the teams that I picked to win won. Isn't that crazy that in one year, a couple times you may go undefeated, and then another time you get totally crushed. Isn't that crazy, Brooke?
That is pretty crazy.
I mean, it's not exactly like studying for a test. It's like you're taking a test and the answers weren't predetermined.
Right.
So it's like you got to wait until it comes out to see, did I pass it or did I fail it? Did I get a zero on it? You know? And it's not like, the only way you study is you kind of research, you know, and kind of see. And I kind of, there's one pick, I won't say what it is, but one of them will be fairly obvious. There's some other ones, though, that are kind of tough. I'm just letting you know right now that there can be some tough picks, as a lot of times there are. But I'll detail that more so tomorrow night. And of course, Football Central coverage with Miracle Man is always brought to you in the fall by that awesome pumpkin pie blizzard from Dairy Queen that you, Brooke, need to try.
I know I do.
You know you do. I love it. You admitted to me that right now. And that thing, oh, my goodness, you see those little pieces of pumpkin pie in there with that whipped cream on it. That thing is just beautiful. Right. We have a number to call in, whether you want to listen or just call in and talk to the Miracle Man about generally whatever you want to talk about. If you want to talk to the Miracle Man, that number to call is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt. When you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, go ahead and press 1, and you'll be taken through a call screener. My assistant will let me know that we have a caller. And as I said, you can feel free to generally talk about anything you wish. But I will say, we try to keep politics off of this program. And by the way, it's nothing personal. I do keep track of what's going on. But I believe that in a time that we're so divided as a nation, it just makes sense to leave that out of this program. We're more about sports and the Word of God. And, you know, stuff that isn't so divisive. And I felt like I was called to have maybe a show like a Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity or whatever. If I felt like that was my calling, I would do it. But that is not what I'm using this platform for. And if you do insist on talking politics, I'm going to tell you to pray for those who have authority over you, like the Bible tells us. And then I'm also going to inform you to go vote next year, in the elections. And this idea that your vote doesn't count. It does. Yes, it does. And not only should you be voting, but you should be voting Bible. Vote Christian. How would God deal with this? How would God do it? So, just keep that in mind. As you're calling it. Now, we're going to pray. And then I want you to open up your Bibles to the book of Luke 8. And I'm going to go to verse 22. And I want to go from Luke 8, 22 to Luke 8, 26. So Luke 8, 22 to 26. And then we'll move on down to Luke 8, 40 down to the end of chapter 8. So we'll be looking at two different passages of Scripture tonight. And then I will discuss each. And we're going to go from there. And before we pray and read our verses and have our sermon, I just want to encourage you guys for the next little while. You just feel free to follow along and do whatever I do here at on this broadcast. I'm studying the Bible. You get your Bible out and follow. Or your device that has the Bible app on it, and study with me. If I, when I pray, in just a second here, you pray. If I sing, you sing. So just feel free to follow along. I don't want you to feel like you're just part of some show where you just listen to me read the Bible or pray, or sing, and you just watch me do it, then it's like you're almost just being entertained. But if you choose to be a part, then that's how you get out of it what I believe God wants you to get out of it. Amen. So, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity, for the show tonight, for these listeners who have made the choice to tune in to this broadcast tonight, wherever they may be, however they may be listening. I just thank you, Father God, that your hand is on their life. It's great to be a Christian. And I just thank you that they, every one of them will receive something from you that you have for them. And I thank you that you would use me tonight as the deliverer of your word. And I confess over this program tonight that sponsors are and partners are coming into this program, that finances are coming into this program, that increases in listenership are coming into this program. And most important of all, Jesus, I thank you that souls, a huge harvest of souls is coming into this program. It's coming into the kingdom as a result of this program. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that this evening, Jesus. In your matchless name, Jesus. Amen. Now, as I said a minute ago, I'm in Luke chapter 8. I'm going to start reading in verse 22, go down to 26. And then, actually, 22 to 25. Luke 8, 22 to 25. And then, after that, I'm going to Luke 8, 40, and going to the end of the chapter. And I trust you could do two things at once. Listen to me direct and you turn in the pages. If you go to Luke 9, you went a little too far. Now, if I have the Mark T. Barclay Special Edition Bible, I may do what Dr. Barclay does, and I may say Luke 8, 22, is on page 2,177, or whatever page he said it was actually on. I think it's kind of funny that he did that. Don't you, Brooke?
I do think that.
Yeah, it is. Like 2,177. I made up that number. I don't know exactly what number, but anyhow, rather than worry about the page number, we're going to get to the meat of this word. And I'm going to go to verse 22 now, and if you're not there, go ahead and catch up as I read. Now one day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat, and they set out. In other words, they traveled out. As they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" Jesus asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? The winds and the water. He commands the winds and the water, and they obey him." Now, go with me a little bit down to Luke 8, 40. Luke 8, verse 40. I'm just giving you a few seconds there to find it. And I'm going to trust that you're now there. There are two sounds, by the way, that are the pastor's favorite sound. One of them is Pages turning in the Bible during the preaching, and the other is checks being ripped out of checkbook during the offering. I love that. I love that joke. That's why I've told it several times, and I don't think it's cheesy. I think it's funny. It's been a while since I've heard my pastor do it. I trust he'll get back to it at some point. I think of it as a goal, oldie or a goodie. I don't care if he never says it again. I know I will at some point. But in all honesty, Luke 8:40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, and they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and he fell at Jesus' feet, pleading for him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. And when they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Pause. Listeners, that does not, what he is not saying, when he says, "I feel that power has gone out from me," he's not saying, I'm now powerless. That's like his way of saying he feels like something has happened, like someone may have been healed. I'm going to read 46 again and then we'll move on. But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Verse 47 now. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, she came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told them why she had touched him. What?
Brianna, come here. Nothing, Red. Go ahead.
Sorry. And touched him, and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Uh-oh. Just when you think the doubt and unbelief left, someone comes out and had to say something. Verse 50. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "The child is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. All right. I'm going to first discuss 21 verses 22 to 25 of Luke 8. So what you have happen in these verses, 22 to 25, is there's a big windstorm on the lake where they are. And when I hear big, I'm not talking about, in Michigan here, we have the Great Lakes and we have these marine forecasts. And they may say winds out of the northwest, for example, 12 to 25 knots. There'll be a small craft advisory, waves 2 to 4 feet or 3 to 5 feet. I think these were a lot bigger than that. I think these winds were at least like 35, 40 knots, a lot higher waves. The boat was being swamped. The sailboat's being like crushed by winds, raging waters. How high do you bet those waves are? At least, would you say 8 feet minimum?
Yeah, probably about that at least.
You would say at least 8 to 12 feet.
Right.
And if it's by wind speed, it would have to be at least, 45 knots plus. These were huge. And these disciples were afraid. They called for help. "Master, we're going to drown." Now, they acted in fear. You know, they were humans, and it's normal for people to say something when you're going through that kind of storm. But at the same time, whatever reason, they didn't think that he could do anything. They thought maybe he could help them, but they didn't realize that he could actually calm the storm. And Jesus calmed that storm, and then they were doubting him, and they're like, "Who is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him." Folks, you know, sometimes you'll be going through stuff, maybe a bad health report, or could be anything that's rough. And sometimes you may be questioning where he is. I didn't say denying him, I just said questioning. But never doubt that he will do what he said in his word. It's really important that you trust Jesus, that you trust what he said he would do in his word. Remember, we discussed this last night, that faith is trust in the Lord. Belief. Now let's review with verses 40 to the end of that chapter, end of this chapter. So there's this woman. And she had been bleeding badly for 12 years. 12 years that she had a condition where she just kept bleeding. No one could heal her. In Mark goes mentions that she spent all the money she had, but instead of getting better as the result of her medical care, all she did was get worse and worse and worse. Whatever surgeries, whatever they did, didn't help. But then this woman knows, finds out about Jesus, and then she goes up behind all these people and she touches the hem of his garment. Just imagine being in that room with Jesus. You're desperate for something. Or you just want to be so close to him that you just touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And if you just reach out to heaven like this, you can feel like you're touching the hem of his garment and receiving something from Jesus. Whatever it is. And I mentioned how he had said, Jesus had said, I feel like power has gone out from me. Folks, he wasn't powerless. He knew that something had happened. He could tell that she was drawing close. And he could tell, and he knew that she was desperate for that miracle. And then the natural, before he came to Jesus, her situation was looking extremely bleak. But she chose to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And then Jesus asks, Who touched me? And all the disciples denied it. And what bad did denying do? Because they hadn't touched it. They had not touched him. In fact, who was it that touched him? Well, it was that girl, that lady, who was believing God earnestly for her healing. She touched him because she was desperate. And in the presence of all those people there, she didn't care. And the Bible says, and she told why she had touched him. And she told Jesus right there in front of everybody how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her these amazing words. And he told her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. And then while Jesus is still speaking, some people came out from that synagogue Oh, someone. Yeah, oh, who? Oh, doubt and, some of those people who had dealt with constant doubt and unbelief. And then they came out and they said, Jairus, your daughter's dead. Don't bother Jesus. Don't bother the teacher anymore. And then Jesus had to come in and say, you know what? Your child is not dead. She's just asleep. And Jesus had to tell these people, don't be afraid. Don't act all fearful and start crying. Just believe. Believe in me. And she will be healed. It was to the point where he didn't let anyone go in except for three of the disciples. And then the daughter's parents. When he saw her sleeping, he told her to get up. And then she got up instantly and her spirit was restored. And they told her parents to give them something to eat. It doesn't say what they had. It's the Bible days, so there was no Domino's or Papa John's yet. You know, when I was little, I used to think that they gave them pizza. Either one of those store-bought pizzas, or maybe they went to, I don't know, Papa John's, Domino's, Little Caesars. Maybe Pizza Hut 2, 3, 4, or something like that. Maybe Jets. Maybe they decided we best get Jets, right? Do you think, Brooke, do you think maybe they decided we best get Jets?
Yeah.
Either that or to go to Domino's or something like that.
Right.
I like to say they went to Little Caesars, but because in my mind, it's one of the that's one of the best ones. Or maybe Hungry Howie, because she had to be hungry. I'm still kind of convinced that they gave her pizza. I am. But it was the Bible days, and you know they had to drink some Coca-Cola with it. So they probably either they. I don't think they had 2 liters. I think they went down to the McDonald's and got her a great big Coca-Cola. I would have.
Right.
Yeah, I got her a nice. I would have got her a nice big one. You know, and just sitting there in front of that, you know, doing what you're doing. But all kidding and joking aside, they had all these people. They thought for sure she was dead. All these people were moaning, getting ready to do their funeral. Time of mourning had come. But she hadn't died. She was in a very rough state, though, before she came and touched Jesus. I don't know how someone could survive like that for 12 years. But God, Jesus healed her body. And apparently she had faith in him. But some of those other family members and some of those other people in that synagogue didn't have the faith. She did. Maybe due to pressure or other things, Folks, don't lose your faith. Don't let your faith just dry up. That's why it's not a good idea to just start missing all kinds of church. Because then you'll lose all your faith. Then you can become the next Doubting Thomas. Thomas, he only missed one church service. One. And then he doubted Jesus. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, not reading. That is why it's so important that you get in church. That's why it's important that your listeners tune into the show. Because when I read you the Bible, when I talk to you guys about whatever I talk to you about, whatever God is speaking to me and dealing with me on, whether it be faith or something else, faith is being imparted into you. And so that's why it's so important that you tune in and that you go to the house of God. A house where the uncompromised word of God is preached on a regular basis. You know, uncompromised work. Because I don't have time to compromise on my walk with God. So I don't compromise. The Bible says we are partakers in Christ if we keep the faith all the way to the end. Amen. Lord God, I thank you, Father God, for this time in the Word, for these miracles that you've done, these miracles that we talked about, how you healed that girl who touched the hem of your garment, Jesus, as well as you calming that storm. And as you calmed the storm in that sea, you can calm those storms that come against us in our lives as we seek you for your help as we go through our lives. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now for sports. The Tigers are playing the Twins in a home series starting with tonight, along with tomorrow and Thursday. The Tigers have not won a home series since early May, which is incredible. They won a couple different home series, like in the middle of the summer of 2003, and one at the end, and I think one near the start. But isn't that just incredible that in almost 5 months, they only won one home series? Isn't that incredible, Brooke? I mean, how do you suffer? How do you struggle that hard? And it should be that much harder to win on the road, not at home. Maybe if they started doing fireworks, they'd win ball games. Maybe if they had a drum line and just let them play all game long, had a marching band and let them play all game long, every minute instead of every 3 minutes or whatever, like the high schools do, maybe then they'd actually win these ball games. I mean, win these series. I'm not saying they should do, players got to focus and all that, but they just have to find a way to win these ball games. And I still think they're going to get the number one overall draft pick when the draft happens, because the Tigers need help now if they want to be successful as a team. Now, I'll talk a little more tomorrow about where the rest of the league is as far as for the playoffs. Now, football. In Monday night action, the Bears took down, they bore down on the Redskins 31-15. As the Redskins were played pretty close in games 1 and 2, but lost. But they lost on Monday night by 16 points. And me and another big football fan, we were talking earlier today, and he mentioned to me that really the Bears should have won that game against Green Bay. They should have beat them, but they didn't. So it should be right now in the division, right now the division that the Lions are in, NFC North, it should currently be Bears 3-0, Lions 2-0-1, Packers and Vikes each 2-1. That's where it should be. But it's not. So on Sunday, the Lions play the Chiefs, and I'll be discussing more on that tomorrow. But what on earth happened to Michigan? Well, I think it's safe to say that Gattis, the offensive coordinator from Alabama, was kind of a risky hire. The offensive line has kind of actually regressed some from last year. I've been looking at some of the Michigan groups post on Facebook and listening to a couple of sports talk shows where fans were calling in and discussing what happened to Michigan and why there was such a big difference between us getting thumped by Wisconsin this year and last time Michigan thumping Wisconsin. Now, Michigan looked rather promising early in the game. They go down 7-0, but then the next drive, they do like this big 70-plus yard play. But then a couple yards later at the 5-yard line, a couple plays later at the five-yard line, they could easily throw for a touchdown. Instead, fumble. They drive down the field, 90-some yards. A couple plays later, touchdown, Badgers. Had the Wolverines actually gotten that touchdown to make it 7-7? I think it would have gave Wisconsin some trouble. Am I saying Michigan would have won? Well, possibly. I do know that it would have made it a lot closer. I think part of why people were so upset was maybe because of that fumble. Keep in mind now that they did score 14 points in the fourth quarter, but that was too little too late. And too little too late, last I checked, is still too little too late. And I think Harbaugh needs to really examine and focus on what do we need to do to improve so that we can win these huge road games going forward where they're playing top 15 teams. Example. But several of their biggest games, though, the rest of the year, they're actually at home. Against that team to the south, against MSU, against Iowa, against Notre Dame, they're all at home, every one of them. But then Penn State, they still got to go to Pennsylvania, and they'll have to work on that. And they'll have to find a way on how to beat Iowa and Michigan State. What happened was Michigan, like in that game a week and a half ago to Arizona State, they didn't just give up. Part of that was kind of the refs' mistake. And I think Michigan State is really trying hard to make something of this year. I think they will be a big challenge for Michigan. As well, so that team to the south, where if they beat Michigan, it'll be 8 straight times that they did, which will be a record for that team to the south. Harbaugh needs to just examine where the team is. What's going on that we can't win these big games against top 15 opponents, particularly if we're on the road? Well, at home, it's a lot easier for them. To be honest with you, listeners, that 10-3 pick that I said, that 9-3 pick, 10-3 pick that I said for the regular season, 9-3. I have to drop that to up to 8-4 because I don't see how they're going to beat the team of the South. I don't see how they're going to beat Notre Dame. And also Penn State's a big question mark, and possibly Michigan State even. They got some work to do. That's all I can say, listeners, is Michigan has work to do. Their next game is Saturday. I will discuss it tomorrow. And so, listeners, that's everything I have for tonight. And remember, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.